Well, good to see you all here tonight, and we are about a quarter of the way through our lessons in Romans, and we've been studying. We've gotten up through most of 7 and into 8, chapter 8, and last time we talked about, before that actually, we started off talking about how Paul describes the way God is saving people today. That's basically in chapters 3, 4, and 5. Of Romans, that it's to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. We have to come to God as ungodly, not as law keepers. That was what was new with the pattern Christ set up when he saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. And then we studied after that, the first section, we got into the second of four parts in Romans, about the righteousness of God. And how that's imputed to us, and how that affects, well, that's in part one too, but how that affects our daily walk. How we can live a life governed by the righteousness of God. And it has to do with our walk. Think about what a walk is. You walk from one place to another, you progress along a path. As far as definition, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines walk as to advance by steps. I think that's good. Or another definition, to pursue a course of action or way of life. And another would be to go to first base as a result of a base on balls. That's not the kind of walk we're talking about in sports these days. We're talking about a word that's in the Bible from back in the 1600s. Before you were in Christ, having believed that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, before that time you were in condemnation. You were under the condemnation of God for not believing the good news of God's provision to remove his condemnation from you. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that they have that walk after the Spirit, because they've put on the new man. And during this walk, they're not in just one realm, the flesh, as everyone is that's born. There would be no progress, no movement or walk in staying in the flesh. But we believers in Christ, having died for our sins, we are in the Spirit too. In the flesh, we still have the flesh, but we're in the Spirit now. The Holy Spirit seals us. He indwells us. The Bible does not say that we're born of the Spirit. That was Israel. The Bible says that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Baptism is not birth. Baptism into the body of Christ is different from born into the Israel of God. They're different things. So we believers are created in the body of Christ, the one, well, it's the new man. The Holy Spirit is our seal, sealing believers in the body of Christ. And starting from the time of our belief, we are in both realms. From the time we believe the gospel of our salvation until the redemption of the body, the catching up, we are in this walk from being after the flesh to being after the Spirit. What are you after? We need to assess ourselves and keep track. It's an important thing. It's very important, probably next important to knowing that you are headed for heaven and can't be going to hell because Christ said you wouldn't and you believe him. Because he already died your death for your sins back in 33 A.D. Let's go back to Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There's a, as you've done this, so likewise, in the same way, walk ye in him. Okay, there's a comparison or metaphor there, but it's it has to do with your walk, that you walk your daily walk, your daily behavior and demeanor being in the same way, the same power, the same access to God that you gained when you were saved, when you received Christ Jesus and his gift of eternal life for you, having died for your sins. We do it by God's doing, though. It's not something, it's not by effort that we receive Christ. It's not by our works that we can get saved. It's by God's doing. He provided everything. We just accept it. Accept the gift. Or the Bible word is receive it. Receive the gift. In the same way we walk in him, it's also by God's doing that we walk in him after salvation. You know, people that we're talking about, people that have been saved, walk in God and in the Spirit by God's doing. We make a choice. We said that in Romans 6:16 and Romans 6:19. We have a choice to make. But we are enabled to having the Holy Spirit living in us. Before you believed Christ as your Savior, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You didn't have the ability to make a choice to do good. You could try to do things that look good to people, improving your reputation or whatever, or your own hopes of maybe making it, maybe being good enough for God. You would have to be perfect, though, from conception to death. That's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. So we've talked about imputed righteousness, chapter 3 of Romans 3:21 and 22. You could consider this in your daily walk. You could consider this imputed walk. God gives us the power. Now there still is a choice, just like in salvation. You must make the choice to receive Christ's gift on the cross rather than trying to work your way into heaven or any other way that, you know, Christ is the only way, and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. I don't think Scripture uses the term imputed walk, but that's what it's saying. God does it in the believer in the same way he does salvation in the believer. And that's where Colossians 2:6 came in. Look at some other verses. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. God did it. He was gracious enough to save us simply by our believing. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's Israel walks by sight. They're not having faith that they're going to heaven. They weren't promised heaven. They were promised the land. They can see the land. They walk by sight. We can't see heaven. We have to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, have to identify the pronouns to understand what God is saying in the scriptures. He, meaning God, hath made him, Christ, to be sins for us. Him who knew no sin, never sinned, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not might become, not might attain to the righteousness of God or come near it. No, he makes us to be the righteousness of God in him. It's his doing. So we need, because we know of these things to be true, we need to reckon ourselves to be walkers in Christ. We walk our daily life, our daily experience, walk through that in Christ, and in Christ's righteousness and his resurrection power. So we can reckon something. We must, you know, before you're able to reckon something, you must know that it's a fact. We need to realize that the outcome of our walk is already predestined. I saw that in the text there. You know, I thought about that. But anyway, let's look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Is our walk, our daily walk, predestined? The outcome of it is the outcome of our daily walk. Whether we have a real struggle with doing as we believe God wants us to, or whether, you know, we just rejoice in doing it, or whatever our attitude is. Romans 8:29, for whom he hath foreknown, for whom he did foreknow, let me get it right, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might, he being Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God, did you hear what he said there? God took the responsibility of making sure we end up conformed to the image of his Son. So our outcome is guaranteed in writing, in the writing of Scripture. Each believer will end up conformed to the image of his Son. And according to Webster, in Webster's dictionary, we read earlier, to walk means to advance by steps. Our walk is given us by Jesus Christ. The more we reckon ourselves to be walking after the Spirit, the more we move along in our walk, away from walking after the flesh, and also the closer we become to being conformed to his, to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Being in Christ is a mystery. It's a mystery that was revealed to Paul. Paul talks about it in Romans. It involves several things, which, you know, they would be, let's see, the gospel of salvation, which was the gospel of Christ in Acts, and is the gospel of the grace of God to us now. It's the same saving message, though, that Paul was saved by, that he preached the rest of his life of how to be saved. Welcome to the room. And that's clearly shown in Romans 3, verses 21 to 28, especially, let's see, well, that whole section is just sparkling, you know, with the facts of how God goes about saving us. The thing that we have to do, there is a condition there. It's a conditional salvation. We have to, at some point, have faith, believe that he did pay for our sins, that we are justified freely by his grace, not by anything we do. He justifies us free. That's, you know, free. You don't have to do anything to get it, or pay anything to get it. He paid the full penalty. So we've gone through that before, and we'll go through it again at another time. But right now, we want to keep our mind on these major elements of the previously unrevealed mystery of being in Christ, the head of the body. The body was not mentioned before Acts 9. Being, you know, the whole group of people, whole dispensation of people that come to God, by the way, laid out there in Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. The whole group being in Christ, now the disciples of Christ, are not the disciples in general, but the apostles specifically, Israel's 12 apostles, are said to be in Christ, in both in John 17 and I think it's John 15. 14 or 15. There's two places where they're said to be in Christ. But that's not the whole thousands of Jews that believed that Jesus was the Christ in the Church of God in Jerusalem. I don't want to get into their status in the tribulation and things like that, but we are the ones that this mystery of being in Christ was revealed to by Paul, it being revealed by Christ to Paul, and that Christ is the head of the body. So Romans 4 also covers another mystery, being the imputed righteousness of God, that the very righteousness, utter righteousness of God, being imputed to the believer, just believing that Christ died for my sins. Before Paul, it was unrevealed that God would impute his own righteousness to all believers in the gospel that he gives them. Only through Paul is that gospel given. But it was unrevealed before Paul. Righteousness is imputed only to those, to all those, who receive the gospel, believing the gospel of Christ crucified for my sins, that gospel which Christ gave to Paul after his ascension. That's why it's gospel or good news from Christ. After Christ left the earth and Israel fell, how could people come to God? That had been the only way to come to God. To get right with God was through Israel and their covenants. But when they fell in Acts 7 and spoke against the Holy Ghost, there was no way until Paul was saved. And I believe it was a matter of hours or a few days later, after the fall of Israel, that Paul was saved. And God didn't leave the world without a way to come to him. He started that new pattern that Paul talks about in his testimony of how he was saved in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. So, other mentions of mysteries that only Paul mentioned in his writings are being baptized into Jesus Christ. That was not spoken of before Paul or known about. It didn't happen. Being baptized into the body of Christ, or being baptized into Christ's death, in which we are dead with Christ and also are risen with Christ. So what we're dealing with today is another part of the mystery unheard before Christ's revelations to Paul, starting in Acts 9. The law of my mind, the law of God, things that are talked about in Romans 7 and 8. The inward man, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's all new since Paul. Since Paul was saved, I should say. And remember that definition in Webster's of law. I don't know if we read that or not. The word law in Webster's, it says, it often does not refer to the law of Moses, but rather to either a civil law, such as the speed limit, or a procedure, or a rule of procedure, or the way things work, such as the law of gravity. And here, the law of my mind, the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus refers to a procedure or a way of operating, the way God is doing things in us. So, remembering again, Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, in the way you received him, that's the way to walk in him. It's all by God's doing, by God's work, and his planning, his salvation, that we are saved. He does it all. It's all of God's doing for our daily living, our daily walk. So God is both in the business of equipping us for heaven, as well as equipping us for the daily Christian walk, for what we do, how we treat others, how we respond to others. So with that in mind, let's review some related scriptures, and we're going to go through quite a few here, and I want us to keep in mind the privileges that we have that because of what Christ has given to us. As believers, that Christ died for our sins, God gives us his own righteousness. He credits us with being righteous, more righteous than we could ever hope to be or try to be. And the second thing, then, in our daily walk, God gives us his righteousness we have to choose it, though, that Romans 6:16 choice. Romans 6:19 echoes it, that we have to choose. But we have the ability to choose now because we have the Spirit of God within us, the Holy Spirit. And He enables believers and non-believers, people not yet saved, don't have that ability to make that choice to do good. They fall in the that description there in Romans 3:10-18. Can't do anything for God. Anything you try and do turns out to have just been for your ego or for self-protection, self-preservation, some other self thing. So let's go through these verses that echo the change that God made when He saved Paul and began to work in his life, as He works in our lives. Romans 7:22. Romans 7:22, and then we'll go to 7:25. So starting off with 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And remember, this is Paul talking. He's not talking about his past. He says, "I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh," and you have to substitute the same verb, "I myself serve the law of sin." That's present tense. He's not advocating sin. He's just admitting that he still has the sinful body. We have a sinful flesh. It's not yet converted from a natural body to a spiritual body, as in 1 Corinthians 15, about 44, verse 44, I think it is. Somewhere in there. Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, there's a graduation there. Being saved means you've got things you didn't have before. You've got abilities, you've got power, you've got help from God, you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you. All these things that we're going through in these verses. Romans 8, verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That's in my members part. That's the carnal mind, not the spiritual mind, but the carnal mind. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be." Neither indeed can be. Let's go down. Yeah, we'll try to. Please try and save your questions for later. And right after the meeting, after the Bible study, we'll go to the questions and have a Q&A. 2 Corinthians, and we'll start with 4:16, then go to 5:16 and 17. 4:16 in 2 Corinthians, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And we do have, our outward man perishes. Just look what happens when you get older. Things stop working. You have get up in the morning and I don't remember getting up when I was a teenager or in my 20s and just no cause, but just feeling pain. Our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's two different realms, like we talked about yesterday. 2 Corinthians 5:16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh," Christ walked the earth and taught Israel to keep the law, among other things. "Yet now henceforth we know him no more." Don't know him after the flesh anymore. We know him after the Spirit, that when he revealed himself from heaven to Saul of Tarsus and saved him. And Paul calls it an abundance of revelations through his lifetime that he had. And that was that abundance was just by the time he had written 2 Corinthians there in early Acts 20. By that time, he'd already received an abundance of revelations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let's go to Galatians 5:16. Again, echoing this new power within us, the difference that the Holy Spirit makes once we're saved, the difference He makes in our daily walk, not just in our destination of heaven, but in our daily walk. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what Romans 6:16 says. In different words, it gives you the way to overcome, to walk in the Spirit. You know, you're dead to sin. That's a fact in Romans 6:2. So reckon yourself to be dead to sin. You can do it since it's a fact. It's not just making it up and trying to believe it and make it come true. It is a fact. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There is a battle going on. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. That's in Galatians, just like he talked about in Romans 7. Verse 18, here's a remedy. But if you be led of the Spirit, you have a choice. You don't have to follow the Spirit. You'll be uncomfortable if you don't. But you don't have to stay saved. If you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And this is verse 24 in Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Where is our life? Where is our salvation? The Spirit, by one Spirit are you baptized into the one body of Christ. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk our daily life in the Spirit. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man, what we got from Adam, all that sin nature. You have put it off with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to for one more section of verses before we get back to talking about them. Ephesians 4, verse 20 through verse 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Lust of the body, lust of the eye, pride of life. But they're deceitful. They're put there by the great deceiver. They're there anyway. I mean, they work together. That's the world and the flesh. We're talking mainly about the flesh here, but they're all influenced by the devil, and we have the Spirit of God within us, so the battle is there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23 and verse 24 says that ye put on the new man, which is created after God. I didn't read that right. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I need to add one more. Go back to Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10, and let's see, I know the impact of it, but there we go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, are being created in Christ Jesus comes before our good works. You see that there? Created in Jesus unto good works. Not created in Jesus because of our good works. Good works are a result of being saved, which God hath before ordained that we should, not must, should walk in them. All right, let's get back to Romans 8, where we were. Romans 8, verse 2, going on in to the next verse as we walk through this section. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you hear it? That's a key here. It's pivotal. It's crucial. Made me free. He made me free. Free from the law, from the way of operating, not the Mosaic law. We were not under Israel's law to begin with. So it's not talking about Moses' law there. It's talking about the way of operating. It has made us free from the sin and death way of operating. You sin, you die. Well, we can sleep in Christ and know that we are going to be raised to rewards, whatever rewards we get, and to eventual heaven, a place in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. So, what freed us in the verse? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what made me free from the law of sin and death. So it's not accomplished by my trying to be good. It's not accomplished by trying to keep some law that, you know, that was given to Moses to give to Israel. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have that Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22 assures us that we have the earnest of the Spirit. Now he that puts together, I like to think of it, I don't think it's the same word, but I like to think of it as attaches. He that attaches us with you in Christ. He that establisheth, now back to the scripture, okay? Verse 21, now he that establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So Paul speaks specifically to those Romans about Israel's law and says in verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. And that's talking about the law of Moses again. But Paul is specifically, he's talking to those Romans in chapter 8, and he says what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, weak through our flesh. The law is holy and just and good, but our flesh is weak in trying to perform it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful men, not sinful son, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the law was good, but our flesh was weak, is weak. And remember Romans 7:14, Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And that's not past tense, that's present tense. I am carnal, Paul said in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans. So we must go back again to Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. And it's so important. I mean, everything hinges on you having believed the gospel, received Christ as your Savior, that he died for your sins to save you, and that did save you. That flesh and sin in the flesh is condemned already. It's already dead. So, what do you do? You can reckon it to be dead. You can, you know, you can realize the fact that you can see behind the veil that Satan throws out there, all the worldly activities and things that look so appealing. You can realize, I really am dead to sin. That doesn't have to affect me anymore. And also remember Romans 6:6 that we studied, knowing this, that our old man, let me just add, from Adam, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So then let's look at Romans 8:4. We're up to 8:4 here, I think. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not the law fulfilled in us, but that righteousness that the law and the prophets witness to, how righteous God is, that might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Here's another description of what saved people are like. They have the ability to not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not a condition for salvation. It's how saved people act. Our walk, our progress, is after the Spirit. Now here again, don't misread it by saying that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us if we walk after the flesh, but not after the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not an if-then statement. It's not a conditional thing there. So this is a description of all those that believe in Christ. As far as Christ is, you know, the way he sees things, and by his sight, by his doing, as it was just explained, we walk not after the flesh in God's sight, but we walk after the Spirit. By the time that we reach heaven, we're all guaranteed, all believers are guaranteed to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God brings us there. He makes it happen. It's great. Also, about the righteousness of the law, Paul doesn't say that the law will be fulfilled in us, and that's not the point. The point of the law was to show that we can't be as righteous as God wants us to be. But it says that the righteousness of the law, that perfect righteousness of the law, that righteousness will be fulfilled in us. So, you see why it's vital for us and for God, that God imputes his own righteousness to us. That righteousness is what he looks at, and it's fulfilled in us. The righteousness is fulfilled in us, not the law, but the righteousness that the law showed us that we cannot attain to ourselves. That righteousness is fulfilled in us by Christ. Praise God. So let's just close with four verses that echo this and give us a look back at it. And we'll close with these four verses from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Chapter 1, 4 through 7. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God has adopted us to himself. He has not adopted us to Israel or to some other entity, but he has adopted us to himself. We are God's body, God the Son, Jesus Christ's body, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We didn't work our way into being acceptable. God made us accepted in the beloved. God did it again. It's God's doing. Be thankful to him. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And don't misread that to say the forgiveness of some sins or the forgiveness of past sins. It says the forgiveness of sins. according to the riches of his grace. Not according to our works, but according to the riches of his grace. Praise be to God. He did it all. And any questions now, please bring them to the front so we can see what the questions are.